Hour number two, Darren, Donica, and Chase on this Thursday morning. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. We're still here in Dallas. We'll be heading out after the show today to head back home. It's been quite an experience, but we're also looking forward to getting back. We haven't been in Nashville in 2020, so we're looking forward to that. John Glennon from The Athletic. He covers a lot of things in our city, including the Titans, and they will be in Foxborough Saturday night, a 7:15 kickoff. They're going to take on the Patriots. John, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are enjoying Big D.
We are. It's actually been a little bit colder than we thought.
Yeah.
That's probably the one thing that's jumped out to me is it's been probably, dare I say, cooler than Nashville here when it comes to the weather. So.
In all the years that I went to Dallas covering the Predators, I can never, ever remember it being cold.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a change of pace. Yeah, usually we're battling, 100-degree temperatures whenever we go down to Dallas.
Not the case for sure. So what do you think the Titans are going to be battling on Saturday? You know, everybody's got their opinion of what the Patriots are, so I'll ask you, what do you think, you know, when you look at the Patriots, what do you see?
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting, and it sounds strange to say it, but, you know, I wonder if the Patriots will have a little bit of that chip-on-the-shoulder mentality because, you know, people are almost discounting New England. I mean, maybe discounting is a little bit strong a word, but, you know, they haven't looked particularly good going down the stretch. The offense has certainly faltered. You know, they're dealing with some injuries, too, and they lost just a stunning game to Miami at home, one that they really needed to win last weekend. And it's almost as if, you know, people are dismissing the Patriots right now. So you wonder, you know, there's a lot of Super Bowl experience there, a lot of playoff experience, you know, certainly guys like Brady and Edelman, Belichick, and you wonder if they're kind of saying, okay, you know, we're taking this all in. We're letting people have their say, and we'll see what's really up when we bring a team to town for the playoffs. Because when teams have come to Foxborough over the years and in the postseason, things have generally not gone well for the opponents.
You know, Bill Belichick, one of his strengths is identifying, you know, who is the workhorse, who is somebody who can burn you, who's somebody who can beat you, and just taking them completely out of the game. We watched the Patriots completely shut down that Rams offense last year in the Super Bowl. Their defense has been good this year, but it's been bending a lot here of late. So who do you think all week in the lab, you know, as Bill Belichick is trying to come up with the magic potion to take however you're going to answer this? Ryan Tannehill has certainly been about the big three. Which one do you think he's identifying of the big three, Tannehill, Henry, or Brown, as the guy that he absolutely has to take out of this game?
I would have to think that they're going to look at A.J. Brown because, honestly, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to take Derrick Henry out of the game, but no one, for the most part, has really been able to do that, no matter how many players they put in the box. Eventually, in almost every game this season, Henry's been able to wear them down and get his yardage. But Brown is definitely, obviously, the cut above all the other Titans wide receivers. Tremendous month, you know, a guy who certainly should be in the running for NFL rookie, offensive rookie of the year. I would think the focus would be on him, especially since the Patriots have, you know, probably the game's best defensive back in Stephon Gilmore. You know, I would not be surprised if there's a ton of focus on shutting him down, you know, making the Titans win in some other way. You know, because Brown has been the most explosive player on the team in terms of big passing yardage. What's interesting maybe is that, you know, a couple weeks ago when the Titans played the Saints, it was a similar situation. The Saints did an excellent job of shutting A.J. Brown down with Marshawn Lattimore. I think he only caught one pass. But, you know, to the Titans' credit, they scored 28 points that game. And they still have other weapons. You know, as you mentioned, certainly Derrick Henry is a huge weapon. But Tannehill has also been throwing pretty well to Jonnu Smith, to Tajay Sharpe, to Corey Davis. So it's hardly the kind of Titans offense that we have seen in recent years where there's only one weapon.
So with that being said, what do you think is realistic the Titans can put up on the board? They have been – You know, it's been refreshing. It's been a while since we really haven't talked about a team that, you know, can they get to 20 points to try to win the game, right? I mean, I felt like we used to have that conversation so much. If they could just get in the 20s, they'll give themselves a good chance. Scoring hasn't been an issue. So what's realistic of what you think the Titans can put up on the board in Foxborough on Saturday night? A number that's realistic and enough to get the job done.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it is fascinating, and I think that is a good word, refreshing to use. You know, this Titans team, since Ryan Tannehill took over, has averaged over 30 points per game.
Wow.
It's crazy. Because, yeah, it used to be certainly the past several years was, you know, can we make it to 20 and hang on for dear life? And, you know, 24, oh, that's too much to ask for. But, yeah, it's obviously a different situation up in Foxborough. This is the number one rated defense. You know, you can say that, okay, they didn't have the toughest schedule in the world, which is accurate. But this is still a very good defense. I think it's also one of the best red zone defenses, which is going to go against the major strength of the Titans, which is their red zone offense. And you're looking at one of the best defensive backs in the game, Stephon Gilmore. And let's face it, it's just tough to win in Foxborough. And it's going to be probably a cold, rainy night, which doesn't add to offensive highlights too often. So all that said, I still think this Titans offense will have the capability of probably putting up 24, 27 points in this game. I mean, that's just what they've shown us over a very long stretch now, and I don't think it's going to change that much. And you know, as weird as it sounds, I think the Titans may have too much firepower for the New England Patriots. You know, if they score 27 points, I think there's a good chance that they win this game.
We're talking to John Glennon of The Athletic here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And I look at the defense, and I'll start with the Titans. Adoree Jackson appears to he's on the injury report still, but he's been practicing. He's been a full participant the last 2 days. We'll see about today. Is there a good chance that he's back in the lineup finally?
I think there is. You know, I think it's going to happen when he's gone full the past 2 days, and we'll see here in another few minutes how much work he gets in practice today. But, you know, it was interesting when Mike Vrabel talked about Adoree maybe coming back a little bit earlier in the season. He said, you know, maybe he's a kind of a third down specialist or along those lines. So, you know, maybe Adoree doesn't get the full role that he might have played earlier in the season before their injury. But nonetheless, you know, I think that's a big difference. You know, and when you can line up with Adoree Jackson and Tremaine Brock on the outside, you know, for the most part, and then have Logan Ryan on Julian Edelman in the slot, I think that really benefits the Titans. Certainly Logan Ryan knows a lot about Julian Edelman from their years together in New England, and they had a fierce practice rivalry over those years as well. So I think that's a big boost for the Titans, who have been without two of their top three cornerbacks really for at least the past month or so. A nice change to go against Tom Brady.
John, we talked so much earlier in the season, and you guys were talking about the offense and how they're able to put up so many points, but you know, the defense was able to hold teams to 20 or less for the first half of the season, and then, you know, injuries started to pile up, and now you're seeing some lapses on defense and more points being given up. Because of the struggles that the Patriots offense have had as of late, I feel like this is a good opportunity for the Titans defense to correct some things.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a good matchup for the Titans in that a lot of their weaknesses, Titans' weaknesses, are not necessarily strengths for the Patriots. You know, the Titans have struggled, as we talked about in past D. Well, the Patriots, odd as it sounds, with Tom Brady, have not been, you know, great passing, a great offensive team. Titans have struggled in the red zone. Again, this may be an opportunity to improve there, because Patriots have not been a scoring machine, especially about the last month or so. So, you know, I think, you know, and this point has been raised probably several times, but I think the Titans really benefited in this matchup as opposed to going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Sure, that the Titans have beaten the Chiefs, you know, three times, including this year, But, you know, how many times in a row can you do that against a very, very high-powered offense and a very talented skill group? Whereas here, you've got a Titans offense that's putting up points, maybe too much for this Patriots team to keep up with.
Are you concerned at all about the kicking game? We haven't seen Greg Joseph attempt a field goal yet. He's made all the extra points, but he hasn't been put in a high-pressure situation like he would be in Foxborough Saturday night. Is that concerning to you?
I think it has to be. Certainly the Titans like Greg Joseph, or else they wouldn't have signed him. But let's be honest here. This guy hasn't had a field goal attempt in a game since 2018. And part of that, the last two games that he's been on the roster, the Titans have simply been too good at scoring touchdowns. They scored 9 touchdowns, and they haven't needed a field goal in the last two games, which is great, except for the fact that maybe you'd like to trot him out there at least once or twice for a field goal attempt just to run through the process. So, yeah, certainly, I would doubt that the Titans would want to see this come down to a potential game-winning kick and Greg Joseph maybe kicking for the first time in a Titans uniform. His percentage was good in Cleveland in 2018, but it's been a while, and nobody knows really what to expect. And let's be honest, too, there's been a bit of a curse on the Titans kickers that we're seeing this year. So there's that to overcome as well.
When you look at the NFL playoffs, you see quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo, and of all the quarterbacks in the playoffs, you know, has the highest passer rating?
Huh.
Ryan Tannehill. Pretty amazing. I mean, it really is.
It absolutely is. I mean, I was just looking at this again a little bit earlier today, and Tannehill's quarterback rating of, just over 117 right now is 30 points higher than what his average was over 6 years in Miami.
Wow.
30 points. That's insane. And you look at his, on the other hand, it's not like he's dinking and dunking either.
Right.
I think his yards per attempt is 9.6, which is the top of the league. And again, when you go back and you compare that to Miami, 7.2 over 6 years in Miami. But just a huge, huge change for Ryan Tannehill, a guy who absolutely hit the ground running and really seems to be a great fit for this system.
No doubt about it. Appreciate the visit, John. Should be a lot of fun on Saturday night. We'll wait and see. Thanks for doing this.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
John Glennon covers a lot of teams, Titans, Predators. He does it all for The Athletic, and certainly he'll be covering the Titans and the Patriots Saturday night, 7:15. Kickoff. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about that matchup. Also, we'll hear from Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker, this hour as well. But right now, I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served Middle Tennessee, our area, since 1994. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied customers. Yeah, residential customers, over 18,000. And I want to talk about foundation repair because they do so many things, but foundation repair in particular. If you've got bricks that are cracking, you've got walls that are bowing, doors or windows that are sticking, drywall that's separating, you've got maybe stair-step cracks in the masonry or mortar joints, chimneys tilting or leaning, look, these are all signs that your house may be trying to tell you something. It's not something you should probably just keep walking by and not address. And that's where they come into play because they're going to help you. Look, they're the experts. They're about quality. They're about reputation. And they have the expertise to come to your house and tell you what needs to be done. And they've got integrity. Those are all things that are very important to USS. They've got free estimates. They're locally owned and licensed and insured. These are all things you as a homeowner need to know. And it's very important, especially when you're calling them. They guarantee their best. That's what they say. Call USS. The number, 615-227-2275, 615-227-2275, or you can check out everything you need to know about them by looking at their website, usstn.com. All the playoff action will begin at 3:30 on Saturday. Bills will be in Houston to take on the Texans. Houston's a 3-point favorite. That's it. Be very curious to see how that plays out to kick off playoff action. The Bills did not end the season the way they would like, right? They kind of stumbled down the stretch. They lost 3 of 4. Only team they beat was Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I still like them against Houston, though.
But, you know, they lost to the Ravens. No shame there, obviously. They lost in New England, and then they lost to the Jets. That one was a little bit surprising at the end, but I'm not sure they were very motivated against the Jets. So we'll see how it plays. Both teams are 10-6, and then in the nightcap it'll be the Titans and the Patriots. Isn't that amazing what I said? I mean, just listen to those names. Drew Brees.
I know.
I mean, Lamar Jackson has been thrown, but, I mean, he's been also known really for his running. But, I mean, he's passed well. He's got a high passer rating. Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Jimmy Garoppolo, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys, they're in the playoffs. And Ryan Tannehill is the one who's got the best passer rating.
It just shows you know, how a change of scenery really worked for him. And I guess he and Arthur Smith have really hit it off. This offense seems to fit his style, and the style of quarterback that Tannehill is seems to fit what Arthur Smith wanted to do offensively, and the Titans' offense has exploded. I was looking through some of the notes on him, and you look at the month of December for Ryan Tannehill, he had a passer rating of 124.6, which broke Steve McNair's mark for the month of December in 2001, that in his was 115.3. He threw for the most passing yards in franchise history in that month. So Tannehill really was able to spark things, and now he's, you know, up in the upper echelon with quarterbacks in this league as they head into Wild Card Weekend in a game that I think a lot of people have been reading a lot of predictions. A lot of people seem to like the Titans in this one.
Yep, we shall see. Saturday is Derrick Henry's birthday.
Ooh, well, I think he's going to have he's got to have a big day then.
It'll be the birthday boy, Derrick Henry, on Saturday. Can he have a big day on his birthday? So how would you answer the question I threw to John Glennon of the big three, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown? Those have been the three big weapons the Titans have used to score a whole lot of points, as we just talked about, in this, you know, second half of the season. Which one do you think Bill Belichick is trying to take out of the game? Because that's what he does. He's going to take – you can't take three out, but you're going to – he's going to take somebody out of this game. Like, somebody is not going to have – so who is that going to be?
I think I agree with John that it's A.J. Brown. I think the secondary is definitely the strongest point for the Patriots defense, and putting we saw New Orleans do it a few weeks ago, that they had Lattimore on A.J. Brown pretty much the whole game, and outside of that big run that he had, he was pretty much non-existent. And so the Saints did a good job of taking him out of the equation, and I think that's what Bill Belichick's going to try to do. But to your point, you can't stop everyone. So if you you know, it's like if you plug one hole, another one could open up. And I am curious to see how he addresses Derrick Henry. You know, does he load the box to try and stop him? But then when you do that, are you leaving it open for A.J. Brown or Corey Davis or whoever? Let's not forget, Corey Davis has had some pretty big games against the Patriots. He's done well against them, going back to the playoff game and last season. So he seems to find his strides in a big game like this, and they're going to need him, especially if A.J. Brown is taken out of the equation.
There's also a winter storm that's going across the Northeast that could be landing there over the weekend.
That would be interesting.
Do you know what the name of that winter storm is?
I do not.
Winter Storm Henry.
Ooh. Well, this is just shaping up to be something.
We not connecting some dots here?
Yeah. Yeah, this is good.
Is this going to be Derrick Henry's day?
Well, if there's a winter storm, you're not throwing the football too much. You're going to be running.
Yeah.
Ground and pound, baby. So, yeah, I have a feeling he's going to have a big day, and I've said it all week.
But what's a big day? Tell me what a big day
over 100 touchdown.
Okay. But, that's a really
that's a normal day for him.
Is that a big day for Derrick Henry?
I mean, it's big, but it's pretty normal for him, too.
I thought it was a big deal when I, in pick six, put Derrick Henry over 100 yards rushing because of the hamstring injury.
Right.
And that was a joke against the Texans. Obviously we know what he did there. But I mean he's not gonna run for over 200 yards, I don't think. But he ran for 211 against the Texans. Think about it. 86 yards on 21 carries for Houston, the first matchup with Houston. We could tell the hamstring affected him, right? Ran for over 100 against the Raiders, over almost 150 against the Colts, 160 against the Jags. Almost 200, 188 to be exact, against the Chiefs. Since things have changed, this offense has been rolling. To say Derrick Henry is going to go over 100 is almost like a given.
Right.
He is the NFL's leading rusher. So the question is, can he go over 150?
He's definitely got the ability to do it. And I think
can he do it against the Patriots?
That's
defense?
That's the question, because I think what's interesting about this matchup is you have a really strong offense that the Titans have, and then a really strong defense that the Patriots have going up against each other. The Titans' defense has struggled, as we've talked to John Glennon about, that they the injuries have mounted on that side of the ball. They've been okay, but they are allowing teams to score a fair amount of points, and the Patriots' offense has struggled, so I'm curious to see how those two matchups work. Can Derrick Henry get a buck 50 on that Patriots' defense? It's going to be tough, but I did say I think he goes over 100, so maybe 110, somewhere in there. It just depends on how much they have to use him. If there's a storm comes through, then you're probably running the football a lot more. And last week he had how many carries? Like 30-something?
Yeah, obviously they were 32 carries. Yeah. They were trying to get him the record. He's not going to have 32 carries. We know that.
No.
But to get those type of numbers that we're throwing out there, doesn't he need 25, 26, 27 carries?
Yeah, which is – they've been trying to give it to him, 20-plus a game, so I wouldn't be surprised if he carries the rock, 23 to 27 times, somewhere in that range.
And, by the way, how does the hamstring react since his 32 carries?
And how does the hamstring react in the cold? That's the other part of it. That's a very good point that we haven't hit on. Because, look, it's not 100%, and it's not going to be until after the season. So, the cold definitely makes things tighten up.
I see what you did there. Yeah,
I know. But that's something to watch. It's something to pay attention to.
We will come back and hear from Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. We had a really good conversation with him on the show this week. And if you missed it, you're going to want to hear this. You'll hear that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Happy New Year, everybody. Our first show in 2020. We were actually live New Year's Eve at the Cotton Bowl, there ringside, and we had an opportunity. We had a really good discussion on Tuesday's show with Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans as they started to prepare for their game Saturday night against the Patriots. We've been talking about it this hour, and if you didn't hear that conversation, we wanted you to hear it because if you've heard Rashawn Evans, he's a great talker. We had a lot of fun with him kind of just talking about this matchup. He's played in big games his college career, and now he gets to play on a big stage in his professional career. And if you missed that interview, here's our conversation with Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. Talked about the big game on Saturday night in Foxborough. Titans back in the playoffs. You just heard a little bit from their head coach, Mike Vrabel. Now we talk to the linebacker, Rashawn Evans, who certainly has played in big games in his career, but this will be the first time on the NFL level as a pro on this stage. Rashawn, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
you are no stranger to big games. So in college, you know, to be on the stage you're going to be on Saturday night, all eyes, millions and millions of people watching your game, you certainly had that feeling a lot in college.
Yeah, man. You know, it's kind of something that I'm really used to, man. Having that situation where if, you know, you lose, you go home. And having that type of pressure, I feel like it's definitely prepared me for the NFL.
Yeah, what has that been like? Because you're right. You did, because you know the margin of error in college is much smaller than in the NFL. You can lose, you know, in your case, seven games and still make the playoffs, right? Where in college you have no chance if you have a season like that. Maybe one loss could keep you out of the playoffs. Exactly. So you're right. Playing at Alabama, you were on that razor's edge week in and week out because you couldn't afford to stumble or it may cost you playoffs.
Man, absolutely. And that just comes with just, you know, from the experience, man, me constantly, you know, having the opportunity to be able to play big games like that, it only helped me, you know, in my preparation, getting ready for this game. And, you know, in my position right now, all I can do is just help the guys that are around me. We've never really been in this type of situation. You know, as far as just the pressure, what it comes with when you have a, you know, playoff-type game.
Rashawn, do you take a different approach when the stage is different, when the lights are brighter and the stage is bigger? Do you take personally a different approach, or is it business as usual?
I would say it's business as usual. Obviously, my preparation is a lot even more than it normally leading up to that game is all normal, man. I try to keep it as normal as possible because, you know, I feel like sometimes you can make the stage bigger than the moment, and, you know, when you get in that type of situation, you know, you do certain things that you're not normally accustomed to doing, and that's how you get in a situation that you don't want to be in.
How did this team accomplish this? Obviously, early on in the year, Rashawn, things were not going the Titans' way, and here you sit now, you know, Saturday night, you're going to be in New England taking on the Patriots in the playoffs.
I think it was just our perseverance, man, and being able to kind of just block it out of all of the outside noise, us sticking together as, you know, as a unit, keeping that chemistry strong, not pointing fingers. Everybody, I feel like, has, you know, took accountability for their own actions of, you know, whether or not they've made a mistake and went back and changed it. I feel like that's the good thing about us is that, you know, nobody here is, you know, has any heavy hearts. We are pretty, you know, pretty real when it comes to, you know, anything that goes on the field. So I feel like, you know, that's the reason why we've been so successful as far as us being able to stick together and, you know, getting this situation.
Something else, Rashawn, that you were accustomed to in college, you know, it's no different. Guys, unfortunately, in your sport, it's inevitable. Injuries happen, and bodies fall, and next man up. But, you know, in college, you know, your rosters are a lot bigger, and you have to endure the same thing in the NFL. But, you know, these rosters are a lot smaller. What does it mean that you guys have had to deal with the injuries? Part of it, part of the game. But, you know, you got guys like Roberson, guys just stepping into roles and helping this team win.
No doubt. Really just for the guys who've been playing, you know, throughout the season of, you know, really just encouraging those guys to, you know, go out there and play their best game, knowing that we got their back. And, you know, at the end of the day, when, you know, when that football hits that ground, man, it's just 11 guys on 11. And, you know, who's ever in that Tennessee Titans jersey is, you know, that's who we're playing for, man. We're playing for each other. So, just being able to reiterate that type of message to a guy that's coming in like that, I mean, I feel like that's, you know, it helps a lot, you know, for him to be able to go out there and do what he's been doing.
We're talking to Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker. He's here with us. And look, anytime the Patriots are in the in contention, I mean, Tom Brady's name is going to come up. You know what he can do and has done in his career, but like anyone, he can make mistakes. And I think if you watch them down the stretch, there have been some things that maybe you guys can take advantage of. So what have you been able to see in some of the early film study that you've done on Brady?
I mean, just from the simple fact, man, I mean, this guy's been doing this thing for so long. I mean, he's been able to outlast so many different talented men in the league. And, I mean, kudos to him. You know, the things I do see is a lot of times he isn't, you know, a guy that's wanted to get hit a lot. So, you know, hopefully we can be able to, you know, help on that. But other than that, man, I mean, I don't really fall for any of this stuff. That weaknesses, I don't fall for that, man. I've learned from just watching these guys, man. They turn to a different team when it comes to playoffs. Like, they're totally different. So, I mean, you can. It's easy for guys to go back and look at the film and see what some of the weaknesses of Brady and all this other stuff. But I truly feel like some of the things that they do, I don't know if it's planned or whatever or not, is on purpose. But I for sure know this. They are a totally different team when it comes to the playoffs.
You played for a legendary coach in Nick Saban at Alabama, yeah. And obviously everybody knows what Bill Belichick has been able to accomplish. Your head coach played for him. Is there a, it's a playoff game. You guys know what's at stake. You win and you move on. You lose and you go home. But is there a little something extra that you're feeling from your head coach knowing just how special the Patriots organization was to his career?
Yeah, I mean, just the being able to have the opportunity to go against, I mean, your whole team. I mean, I feel like anybody will feel, you know, feel a bit of a juice, man. And, you know, it's always a great thing, man. I feel like being able to have the opportunity of just being in the playoffs, I mean, this is a blessing for me in itself to be able to have another opportunity to play in you know, such a prestige-type event and being able to be – at the age that I am now, you know, you don't really expect things like this to happen so fast. And for me, I feel like we're coaching the rest of the team, and this is an opportunity for us to seize. And, you know, we're going to try to do everything we possibly can to make sure that, you know, when that clock strikes zero, that it's up for us for the win.
Rashawn, I know you're a defensive guy, but you go up against a Mack truck with wearing 22s every day in practice, and Derrick Henry. You know him quite well from Alabama. How special was it for you guys as a team to be able to experience him being the leading rusher in the National Football League?
No, it was definitely, man. It was definitely another situation where I can remember him winning the Heisman. Man, it was kind of that caliber, man. You know, none of the stuff that he does comes to a surprise for me. You know, I've been watching Derek for a long time, and it's kind of funny because, you know, the lead rusher title, I feel like he could have got that, you know, two or three years before this. I mean, I feel like he was still the same guy. I feel like now he's just having that type of opportunity and that type of, you know, health to be able to, you know, last the whole season and be able to show everybody in the rest of the world that, you know, he can do the things that he's been doing. And, you know, I feel like he consistently does that. And to be able to have that crown now, I feel like it's only going to fuel him to be even better than what he is now.
All right, Rashawn, last time we had you on, you know, I threw it out there of Coach Vrabel. He's caught some touchdowns in his career. It's the playoffs. I think this is the time. I think you need to go talk to him.
I think you told us you were going to make the pitch.
Yeah.
Look, I am a team player, man. Whatever they need for me to do, I'll do it. If I got to go out there and kick a couple field goals, I'll do that too. So I'm not going to promise that I'm going to make it, though, but I'll make sure that I'm available for a fact.
You know, last thing on Derrick Henry, you know that their job on the offense, especially what he does, is to wear down your side of the ball in the fourth quarter. And you're trying to do the same thing to them throughout the course of a game. What does it mean when you see some of the fourth quarter performances? And obviously it was on display in Houston on Sunday, whenever he's, you know, breaking these huge runs, and you could just tell. I mean, we've talked to you about it. I mean, that Jacksonville game last year, they were tapping out. I mean, there's teams and certain guys who are like, I don't want any part of it anymore. What's that like? I mean, Chase just asked you. You've had to tackle this guy. I mean, what is it like watching him now on this level and do some of the stuff that he's done?
I mean, it's amazing, man. It's very amazing. You know, you got so many different things that you're up against in the league. I mean, you up against, you know, just the simple fact of injury, man. You know, to be able to go through that and be able to still be able to run as hard and be able to be as physical as you are and consistently do that each and every game, each and every play. I mean, it takes a different type of guy to do that. So, I mean, just that in itself, I mean, that's amazing. And too, I mean, you have to have a lot of, you know, other things that come into account. You got to have guys that are willing to want to block for you, man. I feel like that relationship, too, is very important. I mean, if you don't have anybody that's trusting in you that when you get the ball that you're going to make something happen, I mean, it's going to be hard for that to, you know, be successful. So, I mean, just in that whole thing, man, I mean, it's amazing to be able to see that. And for me to be able to just be like, man, that's something that I've been knowing that is going to happen. So it's just funny that now people are starting to see that.
Yeah. All right, last thing. This is going to be the toughest question we ask you, and I know you've got to go. Who are you rooting for in the national championship game? Take Clemson and LSU.
Wow, why'd you do that to him?
Wow.
Don't do that to him.
I can't be honest with you. I don't even know if I'm rooting for anybody, man. I feel like it's – I mean, it's some pain and some agony in both those teams. I mean, I saw LSU beat my guys. And I felt the wrath of an L against Clemson. So I don't even know if I care if any one of them win. If both of them lose, that'd be great for me.
I told you it's gonna be the toughest question of the interview.
But, hey, man. But no, on a serious note, man, I feel like I don't know, man. There's something about that Trevor, what's his name, Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's a young guy. The fact that he's able to have this another opportunity to play in his game, I think that's very unique. And I feel like people are kind of sleeping on him a little bit. So I don't know. I think I feel a weird feeling about Trevor Lawrence. Mm. I think he might do something very unique in that game.
Okay. We'll keep that in mind. Rashawn, go take care of business in Foxborough on Saturday. We'd love to be talking about another game next week, okay? Best of luck.
All right.
That is Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans, and we do appreciate him joining us, Titans and Patriots, Saturday night in Foxborough, 7:15 kickoff. And as we've been talking about all week, still feel good about it. But that was interesting I think that was him subtly telling us he thinks Clemson is going to win the national championship. That's what I took from it.
I think everybody wants to give it to LSU. And, I mean, you look at the season they've had, it's hard not to think that way, but Clemson's like, hey, we've done this before. Did it last year.
Yep.
I mean, so don't rule us out.
Interesting. All right, we'll come back. Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network will stop by our set as we sit here ringside at the Cotton Bowl in preparation for the Winter Classic tomorrow at 1 o'clock. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coverage on Saturday. Special edition of Jared and the GM will air from 2 until 5 o'clock, followed by a playoff edition of the NFL playoff game or pregame show, which will have the normal crew, Jared, Floyd Reese, and Forever Titan Chris Sanders. They're going to be live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House there in East Nashville. That's located at 1003 Russell Street. And that'll be from 5 until 7 o'clock. So leading you up to kickoff of the Titans and the Patriots, our NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. So be looking for that coming up on Saturday. Adam Kaplan will kick off the third hour of the program. NFL Insider will talk about the playoffs. We'll talk about the matchup with Adam Kaplan. Coming up at noon, we'll also hear from Mike Vrabel at 12:30. Our weekly chat with Elliot Freeman coming up at 1 o'clock. Obviously, we'll get into everything that was the Winter Classic and NHL stuff with Elliot like we do every Thursday at 1 o'clock. If you did not hear, Ole Miss has added DJ Durkin. Lane Kiffin has added DJ Durkin to his staff, former Maryland coach. We kind of remember his story at Maryland. He's been added as an assistant coach, and that prompted a statement from their athletics director, Keith Carter, at Ole Miss. And this is what AD Keith Carter said about the hiring of DJ Durkin. Quote, as part of our standard vetting process for all hires, the university conducted a thorough background check on Coach Durkin, and we connected with several highly respected college football coaches, administrators, and school officials about their experience working with him. We received consistently strong feedback about Coach Durkin's strong character and work ethic and his positive impact on the communities and institutions where he has previously been employed. Once we had the chance to spend some time with Coach Durkin, we were even more convinced that he is exactly the type of accomplished coach with a strong football credentials who is also a proud and committed family man that will make him a great addition to the new staff.
That coming from AD Keith Carter at Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, they certainly knew what they were getting themselves into when they made the hire. They knew that it wasn't going to just slide under the radar of, oh, okay, they're hiring DJ Durkin. They're bringing him in. Everybody remembers what happened with that young man that Jordan McNair was 19, I think when he died from heat stroke. And everything that happened at Maryland where they – you know, they reinstated him and then fired him a day later and all that. So it wasn't going to just go unnoticed. And good for Ole Miss for getting in front of it and releasing something, you know, saying like, hey, we're aware of what happened. And I believe Durkin was with the Falcons last year as an advisor or something. So he hasn't been completely out of the game, just on the NFL level. But, you know, I guess you kind of have to look at it as, does he deserve a second chance? And I guess Lane Kiffin thought so and has given it to him.
How about this quote from Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts? Right now, Jacoby Brissett is our starting quarterback.
Right now.
Okay.
Right
now. Alrighty then. Yeah, well, he's not your starting quarterback right now because you don't have any more games to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to say, what game – what game is he going to appear in?
How about that?
Is that not basically saying, yeah, we're probably going to be looking for
if I'm Jacoby Brissett, I'm like, oh. Okay.
All right.
Because he is set to be a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think he is a good backup. He was probably one of the best backups in the league before he became the starting quarterback. He's not. I don't think he's a true 16-game starter that's going to carry you anywhere.
He's a very solid, serviceable quarterback. He's not elite. We know that. He's probably more, like you said, more in the role of really solid backup quarterback. That, hey, if your quarterback went down for 3 or 4 weeks, you'd feel very good about throwing Jacoby Brissett out there to keep winning you football games in that span. But like you said, over a course of 16 games, probably over a course of a season, he's not what you're looking for because he's just a very solid quarterback. He's not elite. He's not next level. And you're probably going to get what the Colts got, right? He's more like a 7-8 win a year quarterback if he's your starter all year. You're just going to be average.
You know who I think probably will be their starting quarterback next year? Andrew Luck. I think this was a year off, and I bet he's found his love, even though he's disappeared.
I
haven't heard from
that at all.
You think he's done?
Yeah, no, I don't believe that at all.
I mean, it could be that way.
You got to remember that cat's wired differently.
He is, but I could see it.
Everybody also thought Gronk would come back too, and he's not.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there have been guys that retired. You know, Barry Sanders retired early, and I think people thought he'd come back.
No, there's no doubt. Like he's not really going to stay retired, right? He left on top. He's still got really good year. He never came back.
Yeah.
I know that was a beef with the Lions organization, but he could have came back.
Sure.
And played somewhere. You know, I mean, just look, I don't believe that for a minute.
Do you think that Frank Reich in that system could be a good fit for Marcus Mariota?
I don't know. I don't know what Chris Ballard and the Colts and Frank Reich are looking for.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to answer that. I mean, 16 games starter.
But I mean, we saw it with Tannehill.
Is Mariota an upgrade from Jacoby Brissett?
I'd say so. I'd say yeah. I think he's an upgrade over Brissett. Still not elite, but I think again it could be like Tannehill to get a fresh start for Mariota,
okay.
Put him in the right system. With a coach that knows quarterbacks and develops quarterbacks, and Frank Reich, and you've been so impressed with Reich and what he's done.
I think he's
with
a
Indy.
Really good coach.
Yeah, I do too. So, you know, I think for Marcus, if Marcus decides he wants to continue playing, he's got to find that type of fit for him.
All right, we will come back and start the third hour with Adam Kaplan. We'll talk NFL playoffs with him. We do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.